Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasco. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production together with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. Let's begin with an exciting piece of news. In reflecting on what we've learned over the past years, there is one weight loss myth that has been busted. You may have heard over the past few decades that experts and gurus have said that it's not about the calories. They claim that weight loss is more complicated than that. They have blamed junk food and renamed it ultra-processed food. They've blamed sugar intake, seed oils, and a whole host of other things from environmental to psychological, but it's not about the calories. It's not your fault. No more. Think about it. One thing that the increased use of GLP-1 receptor agonist, Wegovy and those things, has clearly demonstrated that when people use the medication, they eat less. The biochemistry allows the body to do what the body is supposed to do when we've eaten just enough calories. It makes us feel full. The stomach slows down emptying food and decreases our appetite, allowing us to feel full. That's supposed to happen naturally, but we've allowed our body to ignore it, and thus we've eaten way more calories than we've needed. Hence, the obesity epidemic in the United States. But at the end of the day, taking the medication forces us to eat fewer calories or suffer the consequences. Well, what does that mean? Weight loss always was, still is, and will always be about the calories. That myth is busted. The challenge is how to allow our body to recognize those naturally occurring signals without using the medication. Not saying it's easy, but it can be done. Again, this myth, busted. Let's turn to Paula, my wife. She's going to have her shoulder replaced soon. Her right shoulder and arm have been giving her problems for decades, it seems, and it's time to get it done. There are no amount of treatments or supplements that can help the torn muscles and the arthritis in that joint. The interesting thing is that she's going to have a reverse shoulder replacement performed. Well, what's that? Well, let's talk about the rotator cuff muscles first, because that happens to a lot of people. My father-in-law went through the torn rotator cuff surgery twice. He tore the right side when he was starting a lawnmower. He went through surgery and then rehab. Just about back to normal, and he fell out of the shower reaching for a towel, fell on his left shoulder, and you guessed it, he tore the left set of rotator cuff muscles. That's how I know what it's like, because it happened to someone that already lived in my house. I thought it might be time to talk about the rotator cuff set of muscles. What are they? Where are they? What do they do? And why does it hurt so much when you tear them? Unless you're driving right now, let your arm hang from your side, whether standing or sitting. Then bend your elbow to 90 degrees with your palm up. Now, while keeping your elbow pinned to your side, rotate your arm away from your body. If you did it right, your forearm and hand should be perpendicular to your torso. Now rotate your arm back and keep going until your hand touches your abdomen. The muscles that perform those movements are called the rotator cuff muscles. When you moved your forearm away from the body, that's called external rotation. Towards your belly would be internal rotation. No matter where your arm is, from above your head all the way to when it's hanging at your side, when the upper arm bone, called the humerus, rotates inward or outward, it's the rotator cuff muscles that do it. They do get some help from other muscles, of course, but they are the major movers. When you throw a ball, internal rotators do that. When you pull away from your body by using your arm instead of your whole upper body, as in starting a lawnmower, external rotation. There's going to be no test, but the names of those muscles are supraspinatus, infraspinatus, teres minor, and subscapularis. Collectively, those are the muscles that make up the rotator cuff. Now, the rotator cuff muscles are unique in one respect. They originate on a bone that floats, for the most part, on the back. The scapula is that bone that resides on your upper back, one on each side. Now, it does attach to the clavicle, your collarbone, on one end, but not directly to the ribs. That doesn't mean it's not rigidly held in place by ligaments, but it's more dependent on the posterior muscles of the back to remain stable. On the other hand, this arrangement allows for greater movement. The rotator cuff attaches to the upper bone of the arm called the humerus. As I said earlier, it's responsible for rotating the arm inward and outward. This isn't an anatomy lesson, but it would help if you could visualize that the reason that you can do that movement is because the muscles start on the front as well as in the back of the scapula. You might think it would be muscles on the front of the shoulder that cause the internal rotation, and while the pectoralis can stabilize the joint, the major movers are those small muscles on the scapula. When I taught kinesiology, that was the most difficult concept for students to grasp. The rotator cuff muscles also stabilize the shoulder. That means they can help keep the head of the humerus in that shallow socket of the shoulder. Those muscles are prone to injury because of the way we use our shoulders, and we use them a lot. They can be stretched and torn. Sometimes physical therapy can help, but if one or more of the muscles are torn, as is in Paula's case, needs to be surgically repaired. Now, throw in significant arthritis in the shoulder joint, and you get the idea why the shoulder needs to be replaced. The rotator cuff muscles were torn so long ago, there's nothing to attach to anymore. She's trained her deltoid to take up some of the work that the rotator cuff should be doing. Which brings us to the reverse shoulder replacement. If the rotator cuffs were intact, they replaced the head of the humerus and the cup of the scapula separately. Once replaced, the arm can function just like it used to. But if there are no rotator cuffs to speak of, then they replace the head with the cup of the scapula already attached in the replacement. That allows the deltoid to pick up the slack for the missing rotator cuff. It does come with limitations, such as putting your arm behind your back, but it will relieve the pain and it will allow her to lift her arm to brush her hair and put on makeup. The pain is the important thing, of course, but we all want to look good. This isn't a lesson in surgical techniques. I've already told you how to identify rotator cuff problems at rest. You can't sleep in bed very well. There are some physical tests an orthopedist can perform, but usually it requires an MRI of the shoulder to know for sure. The most important part of the surgery is the rehabilitation. If you don't work to get the full range of motion and strength back in the arm, you will still be lame. Let's go back to my father-in-law. After he had surgery on the right rotator cuff, he rehabbed the shoulder completely. He came back full range of motion and was able to lift his arm completely over his head. But with the left, he either lost interest or thought, good enough is, and didn't quite get back the range of motion, even up to the time he died over 14 years later. If you had the surgery, do the rehab. You can be sure Paula will. I recently did a rant on why nutrition can't fix everything. The completion of that thought is that we are blessed to have researchers and physicians who work on solutions, be they surgical or pharmaceutical, to help us fill the gaps with techniques and procedures like these that work. And that's all the time I have for this episode. If you like this podcast, please hit the share button and tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice, people. Choose wisely today and every day.